And as you're being seated, Children's Church can be dismissed with Miss Michaela. And so if we have any kids in the building, you can go with Miss Michaela at this time. And then for the remainder of us that unfortunately don't get to go to Children's Church, I guess, we can take our Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. Numbers chapter 16. And as you're turning there, I'd like you to picture in your mind, imagine if you could, that you yourself, you're standing, you find yourself in the middle of a battlefield. And in the middle of that battlefield, in the midst of that battlefield, behind you, you have those that are wounded, you have those that are dying, you have those that are helpless. And then in front of you is an oncoming wave, an oncoming flood of destruction. And it's you and you alone that can do something. In that moment, you have a question that you not only need to ask yourself, but you have a question that you also have to answer for yourself, and that is, would you run or would you stand? Would you run and leave those who are wounded and dying and helpless? Would you leave them behind? Or would you stay and stand and be a protector, be a shield between the destruction that is coming and the wounded and the dying and the helpless? And well, this morning we find ourselves in Numbers chapter 16. And that is exactly what we see here in Numbers chapter 16. We see a man standing with a censer in his hand. Not a sword, not a spear. And he places himself between life and between death. And of course, that man we know to be Aaron. But in him, again, we talk very much about typologies in Scripture. We talk very much about types of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout our Bible. And here, Aaron, in him, we see a powerful shadow. We see a powerful typology of the greatest mediator of all, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who he himself stood between God's wrath and man's guilt, and made a way to go from the land of the dead into the land of the living. And so you're there in Numbers chapter 16. I want us to look this morning at this scene and let it not just remain history, but let it become a call for us as Christians, for you and I to intercede, for you and I to evangelize, for you and I to stand in the gap for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the wounded and for the dying and the helpless. For without Christ, that's exactly what they are. They're wounded, they're dying, they're helpless. So you're there this morning, Numbers chapter 16, and notice, if you would, verses 47 and 48. Numbers chapter 16, verses 47 and 48, the Bible says this, "And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this thought, between the living and the dead. Between the living and the dead. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity again that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see truths that might help us be the church and the Christian that have us to be, to challenge us and to encourage us. Lord, this morning, help us to be that mediator. Help us to be that one that stands in the gap between a lost soul and a Savior that can save them, forgive their sin, and take them to heaven. Lord, help us to be that one that stands between the dead and the living. Lord, now fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I say be those of you and you alone. And Lord, may the message be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. Bless the remainder of our service is our prayer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so here in chapter 16 of Numbers, we find Korah's rebellion. And Korah was just very simply a Levite who was not content to serve in the tabernacle. He wanted and he desired priesthood. Notice there, Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now Korah, the son of Ishar, the son of Kobath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelath, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among you. Wherefore then lift up ye yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And so we see here that Korah, he raises up against for what we could put into terms today. He rose up against the man of God and Moses and an Aaron. And Korah and these 250 leaders, they rose up against them. And they claimed that they were just as holy as Moses and Aaron, and that they deserved leadership, all while forgetting that it wasn't Moses and Aaron who made themselves leaders. It was God himself who made Moses and Aaron leaders. And if God wanted Korah and these 250 to be leaders, then God would have raised them up and they would have been leaders as God would have wanted. And so because of this, God's judgment comes upon them and the earth opens up and swallows them. Look there, verses 31 through 33. "And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." And so the earth, it opens up, it swallows them, and the fire consumed all 250 men. Notice verse 35, "And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." And so we see here, Korah, he gets to himself a rebellion. They rise up against Moses and Aaron. God deals with it very quickly. He doesn't put up for such foolishness. He doesn't put up with the nonsense of Korah and these 250. And so the earth opens up. It swallows them. The fire consumes them. The people, they see the power, the might, the glory, the judgment of God. And guess what they still do? They still murmur. They still complain. Notice there, verse number 41. "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord." So they had seen God's judgment. They had seen God's power. They had seen God's might and his majesty and his glory and what he did against the rebellion. And instead of praising and honoring God, they turn around and they blame Moses and Aaron for killing the people of the Lord. And the result of that was, well, guess what happens? God's wrath fell again, and a plague breaks out. Verse number 46. Notice there, if you would. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is a wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And so this is where we see Aaron's incredible act. And this is where we come to our text this morning in verses 47 and 48. Moses tells him, go quickly, take a censer, and make atonement. And so Aaron runs. And notice what he does, verse number 47. Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And so we see that Aaron, he had immediate obedience even in the face of death. He had immediate obedience even in the face of death. That word ran in the Hebrew means to sprint or to hurry swiftly. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? So he ran quick. What's the big deal about that? Well, you have to remember, at this time, Aaron was 80 plus years old. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily see too many 80-year-olds running, or at least running very fast. And yet, he runs into this camp that is full of death. Why would he do it? Well, because he cared more about saving souls than saving his own comfort. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this: are we willing to act urgently to reach people heading for eternal destruction? Are we willing to act urgently to reach people headed for the eternal flames of hell? Are we running to the lost, or are we running from them? And so we see here, verse number 47, or verse number 46, the Lord says, the plague is begun. The plague is begun. The plague had already started. People were, as he ran, they were already falling over dead. The word plague here implies a divine striking or a divine smiting. This wasn't just a natural disease. It was a divine judgment. The plague is begun. We relate it to our day and age today. And for us today, the plague is still around. Because the plague that we face and continue to face is sin. Sin is the plague. Romans 5:12, you don't have to turn there. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Folks, you need to know this morning that sin is real. Sin is active. And sin, right now, as we sit here this morning, sin is killing souls now. And listen, that's not just a theological theory. That is a reality. There will be people today that they woke up, that they will not go to sleep tonight, and they will have passed into eternity, and they will be spending eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And again, not just a theory, but it's a reality. But notice what it says there, verse number 47, last part. The Bible says, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. That incense represents prayer and intercession. Keep your finger there in Numbers. And turn, if you would, Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, notice if you would, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." And so we see here Aaron, he just wasn't fighting with human weapons. He was fighting with spiritual weapons. In verse number 46 here in Numbers, or verse 47, it says that he put on incense and made atonement. That word atonement just simply means to cover, to pacify, to reconcile. And this is where we start to see the picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, don't turn there, but 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." Hebrews 7:25, the Bible tells us he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Just as Aaron this morning interceded with incense, Jesus today intercedes with his blood. Notice there, verse 48. Numbers chapter 16, verse 48, the Bible says, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." But that first part of verse 48, he stood between the dead and the living. This right here is the heart of this morning's message. Because Aaron literally stood in the gap. There was a dividing line. There was death on one side, living on the other. And Aaron stood at the threshold of death, preventing further destruction. It's like a firefighter who stands in the doorway of a burning house. He grabs those who are behind him while the fire rages in front. Again, the question we need to ask ourselves is this: who will stand between? Who will stand between? Listen, some that you know, of your friends, of your family, they are spiritually dead right now. Others, man, they're barely hanging on. How about you this morning? Do you know someone? They're on the edge. Maybe they're addicted, they're angry, they're hopeless. They're facing destruction. Hey, Christian, this morning we're called to stand between, to be a gospel witness, a prayer warrior, a light bearer. When they look at us, they ought to see the light of Christ shining through us. Just like Aaron stood with incense, Jesus stood with his blood. He didn't run into the midst of the dying. He died in their place. He died in our place. He died in your place. He died in my place. Isaiah 53:12, the Bible says he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now listen, this morning, Jesus, he didn't just stop a plague. No, he stopped hell itself for all who believe. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 tells us that before salvation, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. Who in your life this morning is still dead in trespasses and sin? Christ stood between heaven and hell for you. Christ stood between heaven and hell for me. And that person you're thinking about this morning, that family member, that friend, that you know that they don't know Christ as their Savior, that you know that if they were to die today, they would go to hell. Christ died on the cross for them. And he stood between heaven and hell. He stood between the dead and the living for them. The question you have to ask and answer for yourself is, will you stand between them and eternal death? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. The invitation this morning is simple. It's twofold. Number one, you might be here today, and maybe you're not sure that you're spiritually dead or spiritually alive. I can tell you for a certainty this morning, if Jesus is not your Savior, you are not in the land of the living spiritually. Romans 10:9, the Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he stood for you, he died for you, and today he's waiting for you. You're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that if I were to leave this church, that Christ is my Savior, that my sins are forgiven, and that heaven's my home. You say, but I like to know that this morning. You say, right now I'm living in that land of the dead, but I'd like to make sure that I'm living in the land of the living. You say, I need to be saved this morning. I need to be born again. If that's you this morning, you just slip up your hand. Won't have anybody embarrassed. You won't have anybody call you out. But we'll have someone take a Bible and show you this morning how you can be saved. Anybody like that at all? Then for you, Christian, this morning, it's time to move. Run to the need. You know somebody, a friend, a family member. Don't wait. Somebody needs your witness this week. Intercede for them. Take up the incense of prayer. Name them. Plead for them. And then stand in the gap. Be a gospel bridge. Don't let the plague take another soul without a fight. Who among us this morning will stand between and stand in the gap this week? As music begins to play, the invitation is simple. Number one, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for taking me from the land of the dead to the land of the living. And now, Lord, help me to help somebody else make that same decision. Help me to be that one who will stand. Help me to be that gospel witness. Help me to be that one who shines my light. The music plays. You come and use an altar this morning.